was it for crimes that I had done, he groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and now I am happy all day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glory in, when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can never repay the
Bible and preacher, and let's just go ahead and have revival. Brother Mike, you come preach to us tonight. Appreciate it again. We can have an emphasis on prayer a little bit here tonight, and you preach to us.
Thank you, preacher. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Are you glad to be in the house of God tonight?
Amen.
That was pretty pathetic. Are you glad to be in the house of God tonight?
Amen.
All right, there you go. That helps a little bit, amen. It discouraged me before I ever get started, praise the Lord. Let's see if I can discourage you a little bit now. The book of Galatians this evening, please, in chapter 2. The book of Galatians in chapter 2 with me tonight. And I want to say again that it's a privilege to be here this week. I've looked forward to this. I think last time I was here, you was talking about going down there to that Sight and Sounds thing, brother. And we made a statement that we need to come and stay a little bit longer. We're down there with you, and I forgot all about that. So before I leave, we need to make plans for next year, and maybe we'll stick around an extra Sunday and a few more days and go with you, amen. We like that Sight and Sounds down there, and we went to see a couple of years ago. We went to see, I think after we left here, we went to see Jonah with Cale down there. You guys see Jonah? Yeah. And then we went. I tell you what, we enjoyed more. We went down there the evening before, and we stayed in a motel. But we went to a dinner theater, brother, and we watched the Fiddler on the Roof at a dinner theater, and we liked that more than Jonah. But no, we really did. All of us like that more. And we enjoyed Jonah. It was good. But just that simple thing, you know, I get because I'm a simpleton, I guess, maybe. It might be why. But we really enjoyed that dinner theater and watching Fiddler on the Roof. If you've never seen that, you ought to watch it. Amen. It's a tremendous story. I'm a little bit dealing with some Jewish culture. I don't know if they're completely right in all the things there, but they're close. Amen. So. That's like the Ten Commandments. Watch the Ten Commandments. They're wrong in a lot of places in that movie. Amen. But it gives you some good idea about what was going on there. Galatians chapter 2 this evening. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me, please. I want to read verses 1 through verse 4. We're going to look at basically the whole chapter here this evening in Galatians in chapter 2. And
I'm not an expository preacher, but once in a while I come up with something where I stay pretty much in the text. We have a number of other scriptures to look at. But here in Galatians chapter 2, beginning verse 1, the Bible says, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem, Paul speaking, he said, with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which are reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Boy, I tell you, what a thought. Amen. I'd like to preach to you this evening for a few moments on the subject of Christian liberty. Christian liberty. Father, thank you for your precious word and the privilege that we have to gather around it tonight again. And God, I thank you for the season of prayer already, Lord, that has gone up from this place, and how I know that this church prays for us continually, Father. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you tonight, Father, for what you'll do here. And I pray, God, that you help us, Lord, as we look at this text. And Father, you take it and have your way in our hearts with your Holy Spirit, that you be glorified and magnified in our lives. And we pray, Father, again, if there might be someone here tonight not saved, or somebody hearing outside, Father, with the speakers there, Lord, that do not know Jesus Christ your Savior, that they might just talk to one of us, Father, afterwards, that they might come to that salvation knowledge of Jesus Christ. We'll give you the praise and the thanks in his precious name. Amen. You may be seated. As I begin this evening, you could go to, I don't know if you ever outlined, you probably outlined your whole Bible having a preacher one way or another, I would imagine. I'm going to steal his Bible one day. I'm going to get all them outlines and start preaching them. Amen. But if you got over in Galatians chapter 1, you'll see in verses 1 through 9 where he gave, he saves, and he obeyed. Amen. You get in Galatians in chapter 1 and verse 10, you see that you see the sanction of the gospel, the superiority of the gospel, and the sovereignty of the gospel. When you come to chapter 2, you see here where he deals in the freedom from works. It's to be preached to all. It comes only by faith and should produce righteous living. That's what salvation should do for you and for me. And Christian liberty, that's what Christian liberty truly should do for you and I as believers in Jesus Christ. Christian liberty is not what some had defined Christian liberty as, being that I can, I'm saved, now I can do anything that I want, however I want, anytime I want, any way I want. That's not true Christian liberty. Amen. True Christian liberty is I have been set free from the bondage of sin that I might truly serve the Savior. I've been set free. You have been set free from the bondage of sin that you might truly serve the Savior. Now, I want to deal with a couple areas also in here tonight that sometimes men have tried to put believers once again under bondage in some areas where truly by the works of by works and not by liberty in Christianity. I don't know about you, but I don't have to keep the law to stay saved. Amen. And I don't have to, now I'll say this carefully, but I don't have to cut my hair a certain way, pastor, to stay saved. If that was the case, all your men's hair is too long, Bill, your clothes, amen, the longer than mine, amen. But if that's the case, then you couldn't be saved because your hair is not like my hair. I actually heard a guy one day say, he made this statement in down in Virginia Beach. He said, somebody asked me, what is long hair? And he had a little flat top on his head, you know, and he said, anything longer than this is long hair, bless God. You know, I'll never forget that, you know. And some of that foolish stuff that we've heard over the years, and I'm not going to beat people up who take strong stands on things, pastor, amen. But I learned a long time ago that we cannot dictate in a mannerism that will hinder the grace of God and the working of God in the believer's life, in the born-again Christian's life. And that has happened so many times in Christians' lives. We have freedom. If we look at verse 1 through 4 again, he said, 14 years after I went up again, Paul said, when I went up again, 14 years to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation. Now, see, Paul did it different than me. I go to the same places every year. I try to, amen. That way I stay booked, preacher. I say, well, I'm booked up, amen. No, I always add new churches to our repertoire, you know, but I like going back. Well, Paul, 14 years from the time he was there, now he's going up again. And he says, with Barnabas and Titus, he says, and I went up by revelation
Otherwise, God revealed that that's where he needed to go. God told him, you need to go to Jerusalem. You need to deal with some things, and I want to show you, he said, God's going to teach him through some experience that he's had and what he's got to deal with. He said, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them, which are reputationless, by any means I should run or had run in vain, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Otherwise, even though he went to Jerusalem, and that was an Old Testament practice to prove that they were Jews, he says, even though he went to Jerusalem, he was not compelled. Was not compelled, did not have that desire, did not have that, let me put it this way, Pastor, that conviction of the Holy Spirit to be circumcised himself. Why? Because he was a saved, what? Gentile. A saved Gentile. And to put works on him would be a shame. So he said, Paul says he wasn't compelled to be circumcised. He said, and that because of false brethren. Now watch this. Because of false brethren. Now I wonder about that statement there. How can it be false and brethren? That's simply just brothers who are not right. I know some brothers who aren't right in some doctrinal, they're in some doctrinal error. Amen. I know some that talk about salvation by grace, Pastor, but they'll tell you that if you don't do a certain thing a certain way, then you can't keep your salvation. So therefore, you have to get saved again. And again, and again, and again. But I tell you what, if you're talking about your salvation, they'll give you a clear-cut testimony about how they were saved, when they were saved, why they got saved, why they needed to be saved. Amen? But there's some teachings that they have, Brother Cramer. They're false teachings. But yet they're brethren. Paul says here, these are some false brethren, some false believers, some false Christians, some false brothers here, unawares, he says, unawares brought in who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Well, I tell you what, man, what a thought Paul had that they would even put this on us and say, if Titus is not, then he cannot be a believer. In order to be a believer, he has to be like... If I'm frustrated by serving God, if I'm frustrated because by serving God, then the problem is not God. The problem is my relationship with Him. We need to make sure we're on the right page with God. Amen. Make sure that when we do things, let's make sure we're doing it for the right reason. And I know Pastor Rice well enough, and I know I'm talking about him right now. I think I know you well enough, brother. Amen. I know Pastor Rice well enough where he'll help you through the Word of God. And can I be honest with you? You know him well enough also, don't you? Where he's going to help you with this book, help you to get an understanding. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Well, tonight I know I didn't talk a lot about salvation a little bit, and I'll ask you this question. Are you saved? I would not feel right if I did not ask that question. Are you saved? Are you born again? Has there been a time in your life when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, calling upon Him to forgive you for your sin? Have you done that? If you have not, my friend, you need to put your faith and trust in Him. You need to call upon Him. You need to receive Him as your Savior. Is anybody tonight with an upraised hand and say, Mike, that's me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. I had somebody ask me a long time ago, how come you ask that question when everybody in here is saved? I said, I don't know. I said, I hope everybody's saved. Amen. I really do. And I hear the testimonies of everybody, and I believe they're saved. But, well, I've seen people get saved sometimes that you thought were saved. Amen. If you're saved, praise the Lord. But if you're not, my friend, please take care of that tonight. Please take care of that tonight. I don't see any hands lifted up. Let God work in your heart. You say, Brother Mike, tonight the Lord spoke to my heart, just spoke to my heart about my Christian life with Him. Would you just pray for me tonight? How about it right now? Upraised hand. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can put them down. Anybody else tonight? Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. I'll pray. Remain with your heads bowed and eyes closed after I'm praying. And we'll have the invitation. Father, thank you for your precious word. I thank you, dear Lord, for these, your children, God, tonight. Lord, I don't know what area you spoke to every believer in. Father, I could go down a whole list of questions. It wouldn't mean anything, Father, without your Holy Spirit work. And we pray for your Holy Spirit's work right now, God. Please minister to these whose hearts you spoke to tonight. Help them, Father, to by your grace and your mercy to live the Christian life, to not to be frustrated by it, God, but to walk in the love that you place in our hearts to serve you and to obey you, Father, to be filled with your Spirit. And Father, if someone is not saved, please touch that heart yet tonight. We'll give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord, spoke your heart as Sister Arlene played. Won't you step on and come tonight? Come on up front tonight. God bless you. Amen. Come on. You just come. Let God do in your heart what He wants to do. He spoke to your heart. You come. You should come, please. Come on. God spoke to your heart. You step on and come. You come on up. Let God take it to the Lord. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him. Ask Him. Ask Him to help you, to strengthen you, to help you to be the Christian He has intended for you to be as a believer in Jesus Christ. Why don't you come? You come.